keeping with that same sense of God giving us direction in our lives, I want to ask you the question today. Have you ever been confused before? Have you ever been confused? I'm talking Rubik's Cube solving kind of confused, where there's just no way to make it work. I'll just give you testimony in a general way today. I've been confused before. Just like, what is going on in the world? What is going on in this circumstance? What is going on in my life? And even Paul, when he writes the scripture verses that we're read and are going to read in just a moment, you can sense an incredible amount of confusion. As he wrote that first part of Romans chapter 7, he begins to talk about the complexities of the law related to relationships and related to marriage, and how complex it was to try to keep the law while still having relationships, and it just goes on and on. And then he makes an analogy between a marriage or a failed marriage, a broken relationship, and the analogy of that compared to our relationship with Christ. And if we try to keep the law and have a relationship with Christ, and he tries to explain through that. And I must say that as I read through that, it's not easy to understand. But then he keeps writing to the Romans, and he writes to us as well. And he says in verse 15 of chapter 7, he says this. Now keep up with me, because this is not easy to understand. He says, verse 17, but now it is no... I'm sorry, verse 15. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not do, I agree with the law that is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. You with me still? For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that is evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. Does anybody get what he's talking about there? You read it? It's what he's intending to do. It just goes around and around and around. And Paul is even saying that it's okay to be thoroughly confused. But as we understand, we don't have to stay that way in our relationship to God and in relationship to the law and our relationship with Christ. We can understand that there are some things that we can do to help us to come out of that fog, help us to come out of that confusion towards a more directed and more deliberate and more personal walk with Jesus Christ. And that is relieving to know that there is a loss of confusion when we focus on the things that God would have us to focus on. He uses the analogy of marriage and relationships in the first part of the chapter to help us to understand that one of the things we can do to remove the confusion that is tempting to be in our lives in this dialogue and in this relationship with Jesus Christ is to focus on our marriage and on our family relationships. I had the privilege of sitting around and hanging around yesterday at our pumpkin patch event and watch family after family and group after group kind of make a way through a sweet and innocent and simple, although for workers it wasn't, but a simple event called a pumpkin patch, and how much I admired families, especially of small children, just creating an atmosphere of enjoyment with mom and dad and Susie and Johnny and Billy in a safe and clean and comfortable and spiritually directed or purposeful environment. And it was to be admired to see those that were investing in their family. The truth of it is, family takes work. It takes work. It takes work to relate to one another as husband and wife and grow in that relationship to one another on a weekly and on a monthly and regular basis. The personality quirks, the likes and the dislikes, the disappointments and the joys and the victories all become a mixture of what that relationship is like. And then you add the complexity of children. When I was first raising our daughters, I thought you treated all children the same. And I learned when they were about second and fourth grade that they were very different people. and they need to be related to differently. And when we know of raising our children, every single one of them has their own quirks, their likes, their dislikes, their personality traits, what is their love language. And it is takes work to be able to relate to our children. And then they change, of course, as they move from age to age, and their needs, their personality basically is the same, but their needs become different and evolve over a season of time as well. And we don't just find a day where we stop working on our marriage and on our family. We grow from a 5-year to a 10-year, 20, 30-year relationship, one to the other. And it takes great effort in order to grow and build up our family. And so it's important for us to follow the unintended consequence of Paul's passage of Scripture there, which was really to make an analogy about marriage and divorce compared to our relationship with Christ. But underneath the current of that message is also the importance of us investing in family relations. In other words, we need to be deliberately building one another up. The please and the thank you and you look good today and how was your day, honey, and all of those matters are necessary and important to strengthen and build up the marriage. The same thing with our children. Even if they've grown out of your home, it's still important to stay in relationship with family and build them up and encourage them on the way to their goals and their dreams that are hopefully invested in by you as spiritual parents and leaders of them so that they might take those plans and grow their own family as well. And then it becomes generational as well. We must understand that we are extending the family, not only in the address where you live, but extending the family dynamic into the family of God, the church of Christ, in the relationships that we have with one another here. And those good practices of family life in the home and in friendships and in relationships should also and need to also be applied into the family of God in our church, so that we support one another, encourage one another, pray for one another, celebrate one another, cry with one another, and are generally there for one another because we are called to be the family of God, this His church, right here in this address and in this relationship that you and I have with one another. It's a joy to be a part of a healthy, vibrant family. It's a joy to be a part of a healthy, vibrant church family that is literally there for one another. We'll go to the mat for one another, to pray for one another, and to build one another up. So that when we practice good family habits at home and we bring those with us to the body of Christ, the church, then we become that Acts chapter 2 church that was the very first church that ever gathered together, where as a result of Paul's preaching the gospel, as a result of the day of Pentecost, they came together and won 3,000 souls to the kingdom of God, and all in one sermon, all in one period of time. And as a result of all of these born-again believers coming together all at the same time, with no instructions on how to have church, with no organized plan of how to be the church, they just simply started forming the church. And this is what they did. It says in Acts 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added daily to the church, that body of people added daily to the church, those who were being saved. They didn't know any better but to be together. They didn't know any better but to find Jesus and find out He's the most important thing in the world, and then drop everything that was a trap of their life and begin to share and meet the needs of one another. Not only did they do that internally and regularly and habitually as the order of their ministry, but they also had a great reputation in the community as a result. And in addition to having a great reputation in the community because of their practices with Christ, more and more people were added to the kingdom. Now, friends, just not being the preacher here, but just speaking plainly to you, I don't know if you've noticed or looked around lately in the ministry of our church, but that's happening here. That is happening too many times for me to count. My wife and I went home on Wednesday night, service night, and began to talk about all of the great dynamics that were just happening on 1 hour and a half of gathering together as a church on a Wednesday night. And we stayed up and fought our way into sleep because there were just so many things. And the same thing on Sunday, and the same thing in our ministries. People are serving one another. People are pushing past differences in order for the love of family to be the order of the day and to build up the body of Christ. And as we watched 800 or more people come on Saturday to our church property, most of which, just a little overwhelming to me, but most of which were people that I did not know and see in the community, I will say that there wasn't a person who stepped on the grounds who was uncertain about whether or not this was a good place, a safe place to be. The reputation, the confidence that our community has with our church is to be noted. And it doesn't just happen. It happens as a group of people come together and decide to be that Acts chapter 2 church, extending into the family as a part of the family of God and following the path of Scripture to build up the family and to build up the body of Christ. When we focus in that direction, it helps us to leave the confusion behind. We become a group of people that does the right thing because we owe what the right thing is to do. We serve in ways that are right regardless of the consequences because we know what is right according to the leadership of the Lord. And we push our way past this law and rules and sin matter and warring in ourselves over these matters in order to get to the place where we are healthy and functioning as His church. We focus on marriage and our family and the body of Christ. Secondly, then, have the ability to produce the fruit of God. One of the major fruits of God that needs to continually be grown in your life and in my life is this matter of sin dominating our lives, and in result of it dominating our lives, pushing back in the power of the Holy Spirit and the ability of Jesus and the Word of God, and find ourselves dominating this sin matter in our life. That's really what Paul was talking about in this matter of what I do, I don't do, what I don't want to do, I find myself doing. He was talking about how sin dominates our lives, and if we don't do something about it, it will control us and sweep us away by our own choices and by our own decisions to fall back into that way of the world. But when Jesus Christ comes into your life, when He dwells in your life and infuses your life in the power of the Holy Spirit, you then and I then have a conscience towards the things of God and are able to consciously decide not to be in the ways of sin and consciously decide that I don't want to be that way anymore. I want to be more and more like Christ. And when you and I individually choose to live that way, and with the power of Jesus dwelling in our lives, we one step at a time conquer the dominion that sin had had over our lives. We then become inspiring to others who are dominated by sin, who are muddling through in life that is not dwelling in Christ, and come to the place where others can say, I see the joy and the victory in your life. I see the celebration and the liberty and the freedom that is yours. I want what you have. And we're able to walk others into this life with Christ and walk out of this domination that sin will seek to have over our lives. Friends, Satan's greatest victory is to take someone straight to hell who never had the opportunity to take hold of Jesus or didn't take hold of Jesus. His second greatest victory, and he laughs with a mocking laugh, is a defeated Christian who lives between two worlds, who is thoroughly confused. Paul says, move away from that former life and move into the clarity of following after Christ, producing the fruit of God, personally dominating over sin, influencing others towards Christ with an expectation of holiness, an expectation that holy living will dwell inside my life. And I'll not have to concede anything to the former way of life because I am more and more hungry and more desirous of the holiness of God being prevalent in my life. Now, everyone here could stand and confess of those places where we battle and places that hold us back from being holy with God. But I'm here to declare to you in the Word of God, you don't have to stay there. The holiness of God can so overwhelm our lives to where those sins of our past are no longer a matter. We can move towards this holiness of God. And as a result of finding our way into holiness, we can find our lives to be more generous towards others. We're eager to be more open to others because there's nothing hidden. There's nothing secretive. There's nothing to be ashamed about. And from that generosity of life flows the generosity of giving and of service and of sharing resources, just like in Acts chapter 2, when they sold their goods and possessions and met the needs of one another. By the way, one of the testimonies that my wife and I were talking about on Wednesday night is the growing number of children that are showing up on Wednesday night to go to RAs and GAs and youth group. But let's just be honest, they're also enjoying a wonderful meal of food while they're there. Miss Louise and Terry and others are doing an outstanding job of serving in their lane, serving in their gifting in order to provide a growth in the area of ministry. It was told to me the other day, and this is just serves as an announcement, but it's also the point of generosity. Someone came forward and said that they wanted to make sure that every child who comes on Wednesday night is fed. And so from now on, and for the next season of time, kids eat free on Wednesday night. What? Somebody just made that decision and generously underwrote that cost of our Wednesday night service. So that does two things. One, for those children who are coming who need a meal, which there are some, and also those who are coming from our church family with multiple children who are incurring a cost, that cost is covered. It's taken care of. Not only does it benefit where we are right now, but it also, as long as Louise can make more stew in the pot, we can also invite more children and more families to come. It might mean a couple of more workers to help her cut onions. But nevertheless, there's a momentum there because of somebody's generosity and other people's generosity to grow up the ministry of the Lord in His church. I think the Lord deserves a hand right there. And when that happens, when that generous spirit of service and of giving and seeing beyond the moment into the point of the future, we begin to see a good attitude towards the work of God as it is and then more. We find ourselves being the church. Paul says we don't have to be confused. We don't have to war over this, what I should do and didn't do and could have done and maybe I hope to do and I'll try to do better. We don't have to war. We don't have to stay there in that passage of Scripture that's so confusing. We can move on by focusing on our family and the family of God, by producing the fruit of God. And as well, in verses 5 through 6, it talks about passion. I thought about that some this week as I'm preparing remarks for today. I would say this, that we can redirect our passions towards things that are important to God. You know, the truth of it is, friends, we are a passionate people. We're a passionate people. I was born in Houston, Texas, moved to New Orleans in sixth grade, and haven't lived above I-10 since. I tell people I was just born in the wrong place. And all the privilege of serving in the ministry has always been below I-10, where my people reside, if you know what I mean. We're a passionate people. We're passionate about our sports. We're passionate about our athletics. We're passionate about our food. We're passionate about our relationships, about our families. We're passionate about a lot of good things. And there are people that are also passionate about things that aren't so good. But Paul is talking here about our passions that need to be rerouted from things that are neutral, not necessarily bad or good, hobbies and sports and activities and our favorite team, rerouting our passion towards things that matter. The kingdom of God, the growth of His kingdom, the influence that we have as a church in our community, the rescuing of lost people into salvation and to build up people in the body of Christ and to grow more and more people towards a clear and focused relationship with Him. I sat on a bench with a guy yesterday who has his fourth child. He's a brand new little baby, no bigger than that. They're members of the Catholic community here in town and had beautiful daughters and sons. I asked him, I said, what are your hobbies? And he said, well, I have four kids, you know. He said, I haven't hunted in a long time. And I thought, that's a good dad. And I thought, as a little older than him, having grown our children a little bit more, there's so many things that he's excited to be a part of and learn about as he goes forward and invest his life in God. We need to be passionate about helping people on that path. We need to be passionate about guiding people towards the way of God. We do that by passionately practice selfless living to where we're not concerned about ourselves, only about the passions that God has laid before us for us to do. And lastly, when we are passionate in that way, we can serve in the newness of our spirit. Verse 6 says, but now we have been delivered from the law, the bondage of a life that is not of the Spirit of Christ, having died to what we were held by, so that we could serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. I read through that and I thought about that passage in Galatians where it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, that our life's achievement award would be centered around investing in these qualities, investing in these character traits called the fruit of the Spirit. To realize that our life's achievement is to be a person who is growing in the area of love, to be a person who is developing and flourishing with joy, to have peace in our heart and in the aura that is surrounding our lives as we make it through the world, to be a patient person. That does not happen overnight. It happens over a lifetime. To be a person of kindness, speaking a good word even when we don't feel like it. To be a person of faithfulness and of gentleness and of goodness and of self-control. If we spend our lives investing in growing those fruits in our lives, we become the kind of people that the Lord can use to serve in His ministry. We can then serve in the newness of our spirit. And so if you're here today and you related to that passage of Scripture, that warring over sin and right living, that confusion over the law and over the life with Christ, I want to encourage you today that there's a way out of that confusion, to focus on your family and the family of God and building up the body of Christ, to produce the fruit of God and to direct passions of your life towards the ways of God as He leads us, and to find our lives and the character qualities of our lives building up towards the fruit of the Spirit as a way of life. No longer thoroughly confused.